If you have your Bibles, open up the book of Daniel. If you're using your pew Bible this morning, that's page 480. We're going to go to Daniel chapter 3. But we're going to talk about three guys that I'm sure if you ever went to VBS or you went to any Sunday school classes as a kid, I'm sure you've heard of these three guys. Let me take a quick survey question. Does anyone here pay attention to the trivia questions that come up on the morning slides? Good, good. Do you remember what the question was this morning? What they were? Josh, you remember what they were? What were the questions? That's right. And what were they? Do you know? We're going to talk about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If you open up your Bible, in your bulletin, the answer to the trivia question. Every Sunday, we have trivia questions on the screen at the loop, so you can pay attention to those on a Sunday morning. And the answers to the questions are always somewhere in the bulletin. Okay, so the answers to those questions are in the bulletin. The question was, what were the Hebrew names, their original birth names, of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Their answers are in your bulletin somewhere, so try to refrain while I preach, okay? Here's a quick story, quick synopsis leading us up to the big moment where these three are most famous for, okay? The backstory is that King Nebuchadnezzar II comes in to the land, and the Babylonian Empire is massive. They have a huge military. They're extremely strong. They go into other lands, and they assume the leadership of those lands. And you either voluntarily give it, you try to fight and probably don't win. And what happens is he comes in and takes the Jewish nation captive, and they are under Babylonian captivity. And he goes through and he takes the best of the best. He goes through and he picks these young men, and he says, these guys are the cream of the crop. These guys are the ones who have the most potential to be the strongest and the smartest and the best. So I'm going to take them. And we know of four of them. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those were the names that they were given whenever they moved into the Babylonian Empire, because the Babylonians, King Nebuchadnezzar, didn't want them to have any association with the Hebrew culture. Okay? So you know probably some of the original story. They come in, they're given the best food, they're given the best like personal trainers and the best teachers, because they really do want these guys to become the best. And as they're putting this food in front of them, they said, listen, we're not going to eat your Babylonian food. We're going to only eat the food that God has ordained for us to eat. And they stick to that diet. They make that decision together. Years go on, and we see that these guys are in administrative roles for the government. They've moved up. They've become what the original intent of them being taken into this program was. They have become that. They have become these best of the best leaders. And so now they are tasked with the job of some administration of the kingdom. We're not real sure on all the ins and outs of their responsibilities, but we do know that they were pretty important guys. The king decides that he's going to make a statue, and it's going to be an idol, and it's 90 feet tall. 90 feet tall. That's pretty tall. I believe that from the center of the room to the top of the spire, to the very top there, is 58 feet. Okay? You can ask Frank to be sure. Am I right with 58? 58 feet, okay? So we're going to add another like 32 feet on top of that. And that's how tall this statue is. And the kingdom gathers together in the courtyard, and at the sound of the trumpet, everyone is to bow down and worship this statue. Now, when I say bow down, I don't want you to think that everyone's just standing there doing this. It would be on your face, on the ground, worshiping this statue. Most people, not because they wanted to worship the statue, but because they were afraid of what would happen if they didn't. I firmly believe that a lot of people probably didn't understand why they were being asked to do it in the first place, but they definitely didn't want the consequences of an angry king. That's where we pick up our story. Daniel 3, 19 through 28. Then, here we go. I was about to read the wrong chapter. So, he asks everybody to bow down, and three guys decide in this massive courtyard full of people, just packed full of people, they decide, we can't do this. We must honor God, so we won't bow. They decide to do that together, and together and united, together and united they stand, while the rest of the people, potentially thousands of people, are laying on their face in worship of this 90-foot-tall statue. Do you think they would have been noticeable? Put yourself there. There's thousands of people in this courtyard. There's a 90-foot statue. The trumpet sounds. Everyone is supposed to hit their face in worship of this idol. And three guys decide, we're standing. That's where we pick up the story. Verse 19. Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with fury, and the expression of his face was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, meaning that they no longer found favor with him. He was not pleased with them anymore. He ordered the furnace heated seven times more than it was usually heated, and he ordered some of the mighty men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their cloaks, their tunics, their hats, and their other garments, and they were thrown into the burning fiery furnace. Because the king's order was urgent and the furnace overheated, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound into the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and rose up in haste. He declared to his counselors, "Do we not cast three men bound into the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "True, O king." He answered and said, "But I see four men unbound walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the appearance of the fourth is like a son of the gods." Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the burning fiery furnace. He declared, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out from the fire. And the satraps, the prefects, the governors, and the king's counselors gathered together and saw that the fire had not had any power over the bodies of these men. The hair of their heads was not singed, their cloaks were not harmed, and no smell of fire had come upon them. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him and set aside the king's command and yielded up their bodies rather than serve and worship any god except their own God." I want you to see something here that I never picked up on before in studying this. I never picked up on this. Never once in all of Scripture are these three men ever addressed apart from each other. They are always written together. Always. So I find that to be pretty awesome. When people think that friendship doesn't matter, or friendship doesn't matter towards the kingdom, or friendship isn't all that important, or I'm an island, I don't really like being around people, or I'm introverted, or whatever people might say, these three men are never mentioned apart from each other in Scripture. You ask the question, can three men actually change the tide of a whole country? You better believe they can, because they just did. They just did. And what it took was them banding together in love of God. Friendship is extremely important. If you turn backwards in your Bible to Ecclesiastes, if you're using the Pew Bible, that is page 357. Ecclesiastes is an amazing book. If you haven't ever read it or studied it, you need to do that. Ecclesiastes is Solomon, the wisest person who ever lived, looking back on his life and basically writing his memoirs. the things he wished he would have realized, or the things maybe he wished he would have done better, or the things that maybe he wished he would have paid more attention to, or the decisions he wished he hadn't made. And that's what the book of Ecclesiastes is all about. I'm sure that you've probably heard these passages of Scripture before. Ecclesiastes 4, Solomon is looking at all of the things that he had done, and now he's looking and saying that it probably would have been better if I'd have surrounded myself with better friends. See, Solomon had gotten himself into some stupid spots, acting as an individual. See, he was king. He let that go to his head. He became very prideful. He removed God from the throne and put himself there. We're all prone to doing that. And when we do that, we tend to always get ourselves in trouble. And Solomon did just that. He married way too many women. He had sex with way too many people. He spent his money on things he shouldn't have spent his money on. He got so wrapped up in his wealth that he forgot the people around him that really mattered. He followed unwise counsel. He surrounded himself with people that just wanted to party and use him for his riches. And this is him looking back and realizing some of the things that he wished he had done. So we're going to look at Ecclesiastes 4. We're going to look at verses 9 through 12. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if we two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. So what Solomon says is that it's always better to be with somebody else. It's always better to have that person. If you're stranded in the tundra and you don't have any blankets, it's better to have someone there because two can huddle up at night and keep each other warm. And if one falls and he's by himself and he doesn't have anybody to help him. See, in the context here, they would travel in pairs. And when you traveled, you had to walk or ride a donkey. And the roads weren't like what we have today. They weren't paved and they weren't in great shape. They were just basically trails. And some of them are along cliff faces. And if you tripped and fell by yourself, the consequences were deadly. Because if you'd have fallen and not gotten killed, you would have fallen and been hurt bad enough. And if nobody was with you, you probably would have laid there until you died. And what Solomon's saying is that two are better than one. If one falls, then another one can help him up. But woe to the man who goes by himself, because he has no one to help him. Towards the end of this, he gets even better, and he says, listen, a rope that's just one strand can be snapped pretty easily. A rope of two strands takes a little bit more work. It can still be snapped. But a cord of three strands braided together, that's hard to break. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood together, and even though it should have cost them their lives, and they knew it, they corporately stood together. They valued each other. They depended on each other. They were friends. Through thick and thin, they were friends. I'm sure they had their disagreements. I'm sure they had their arguments. But they knew one thing that they had in common. This one thing that they had in common was the thing that brought them brotherhood. And that one thing was they all had a passionate love of God. So I ask, who are your closest friends? Who are your closest friends, your confidants, the people you tell everything to? And like Solomon says, woe to you if you don't have any. This life was never meant to walk alone. God himself said it in the garden when he created man and woman. He said, it's not good for man to be alone. It's not good for you to be alone. It's not good for you to not have friendships. Friendship matters. I've seen a sermon title I put, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, because we can surround ourselves with some really good friends that push us in the right direction and get us to do the right things and help us along this path of following Jesus. We can have some really bad friends that don't really care about us all that much, and we can have some really ugly friends. I'm not talking about what they look like. But we can have some friends that get us to do some really ugly things. Because those aren't friends. Friends are people who build each other up. Friends are something that have a common bond that's much bigger than anything this earth can offer. Friendship, real friendship, happens within the bonds of loving Jesus. That's where real friendship starts to happen. Because you can love baseball together, but that friendship changes when you love Jesus together. The band's going to come up and we're going to sing one last song. The song is Our God. We've sung it here a bunch. I think if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would have known Paul, they would have gotten along, because Paul said things like, if God is for us, who can stand against us? He said, we are more than conquerors with Christ. That's what Paul said. And I think Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego understood that. I know they did, because they were willing to die to honor God. They would not honor anything that didn't glorify God. And it should have cost them their lives. But in turn, instead, a whole country gave over to the worship of God. So one of the lines in the song is, if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And let me just say that a cord of three strands isn't easily broken. Who are you surrounding yourself with? What kind of people do you have in your life? And what is the common bond? What's drawing you together? Do you really talk about what's important, or do you just make small talk? Because in a big decision like what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had to face, a good, strong friendship will get you to do the right thing every time. Even when everything in you doesn't want to do it, that positive peer pressure coming from your brothers or sisters in Christ will get you there. Woe to you if you don't have that. Surround yourself with people that are real friends, that are strong friends, friends that have a common bond in Jesus. If you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, it's the greatest friendship you'll ever encounter. It's the only friend that will never disappoint you. That's where friendship starts, is in a relationship with Jesus, our God, because he's for us. And if he's for us, there's nothing that can stop us. Friendship matters. It matters to God. Does it matter to you?